Congregation, the text for this morning is from the Acts of the Apostles, the verses 37 and 38. Those are the main texts, 37 and 38. Let us read them slowly and carefully. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So far. The theme for this morning, converted to Christ. And with the help of the Lord, five main thoughts. Resisting Christ. Now when they have been resisting Christ, is secondly slain by Christ. Pricked is a very serious word. Pricked in their heart. Slain, I say in the second thought. Slain by Christ. In the third place, repenting, commended by Christ. Repent and be baptized, every one of you. In the fourth place, believing in Christ. That's included in, and be baptized, every one of you. And in the fifth place, added to Christ. The Lord added to his church and to the Lord. He added. So converted to Christ is the theme. Resisting Christ. Slain by Christ, repenting, commanded by Christ, believing in Christ, and added to Christ. So we are on the day of Pentecost in Jerusalem this morning, again. And we hear the Apostle Peter preaching, and there is a tremendous effect. The Lord blesses that sermon, and 3,000 of them are converted. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts, so the Lord applied the word. They heard this. So what did they hear again? Remember? What was so effectual, what struck them, what was so touching, that must have been a very special, exciting, warm, super sermon. Something everyone will be impressed about and say, what is this? This is divine, this is special, this is so eloquent, so powerful, so persuasive, so easy to listen to. I don't think so. It was a very good sermon, but it was not exciting. It was not so that he tried to manipulate the people and try to stir their feelings and kind of artificially try to influence the people. It was not stirring, not exciting, not very emotional, just the Bible, the Word. Remember? From last week, quoting Joel the prophet and Psalm 16, and Psalm 110, just conveying the message and try to convince the people, this is the word of God, so the Lord speaketh. And he spoke about Christ, that's right. He spoke about his birth and his suffering and his crucifixion, his resurrection and his ascension. Lifting up Christ, of course he did, in a very simple, plain way. And that sermon was also very personal, right? With the ye's in there, that ye have crucified and did wonders among you. Very personal. But not so that he tried to work the people emotionally up and ask them to come forward to choose for the Lord and for an altar call or something. Nothing very special. But they heard it. It was the work of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit made that simple, plain word of God so special. And so it is possible that you haven't heard his sermons yet. For all those 40, 50, 60 years, they all went over your head. They're all the same. All not very interesting. Some a little different maybe for the rest. And then this morning, you could hear that same sermon as you've heard so many times and hear nothing new, but hear it in a different way. And they heard this. Let's pray for that. Let's pray that the Lord makes the same message, the simple word, fresh and new and sharp, and the hammer and the balm and Gilead, that's the Lord's work. Don't expect ministers to convert people. Don't say the sermons, they have to be this and that and work up the people and make them emotional. I'm not planning to. I don't want to work the feelings. I don't want to manipulate people. We have to preach the counsel, the full counsel of God. Now when they heard this, who were they actually? You know, not too long ago, many of them, I suppose, have heard the sermons of Jesus himself and plainly rejected them. They wanted an earthly kingdom, but they did not like the sermons. Many left the Lord Jesus Christ after a while. And they also involved, many of them, in his conviction. And they stood before Pontius Pilate, crucify him, we don't like him, away with him. They asked for his execution. They were common murderers of the Son of God. Murderers of the Son of God, standing there. Men, brethren, what shall we do? What a change of heart. So there was so much unbelief and despising of the Lord Jesus Christ. They have been so close to the gospel. They heard it. They've seen it. They liked the miracles. And they yet went against it in unbelief. That sin of unbelief, right? Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made that same Jesus, the same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. So there is hope for people also this morning who have rejected Christ their whole life. And always said no. Always said, I'm not home. Close the door and listen to the sermon and then out of the sanctuary unchanged. Nothing happened. For such people there is hope. For people indifferent, for people not interested, there is hope. What does it say in Isaiah? It's quite a text. In Isaiah, we read about it. the Lord is an almighty God, that he is found of them that did not seek him. So resisting Christ was the first thought. Let's go to the second one, slain by Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts. Children, if you like to prick someone, what do you use? A needle? A pin? Just prick someone in his hand? Or his arm? Or you have to go to the hospital and they prick you with a needle? Or they prick you when you're picking blackberries, all those thorns, they prick you, say, ouch. Is that a word? When the Lord comes, he just pricks people a little bit, their emotions, in their hearts. No. You know, words change over time, also in the English language. I'll give you an example. The word idiot is very derogative. You don't use that word anymore. But it's in the Bible. The disciples are called Andres idiotes. Simple people. So idiot originally means simple, uneducated. And all the time it is a very bad word. So words develop in meaning and change. Also the word to prick in Old English has a more profound meaning. It means to pierce. Actually stronger than that. You know, the word is also used for the spear they used to pierce the side of the Lord Jesus. And blood and water gushed out. Nusomai. But even stronger word. Kata nusomai. To pierce through. So they're pierced through their hearts. Like with the spear of the Lord Jesus. His side was pierced. And so the word pierced them through their hearts. It kills them. It's a military word. When they're in battle, it's swords and spears. You think of some soldier having a sword in his hand and trying to fight the enemy and coming downhill full force, being courageous, and suddenly an arrow or a spear or a sword pierces him through his body. And he staggers, and he's down, and he's bleeding, and he is crying, and he knows, I'm dying. I'm dying. How humiliating, how devastating, how impossible. That's the word. So they were devastated, not just pricked, but devastated. Traumatic, stopped in their tracks. They had hardened themselves over so many years. And now something changed. Conversion is shocking. They had been unmoved for many years. They're sitting in the pews, so to speak, for years. Whatever. Someday it might happen to me. Maybe not. Unmoved, complacent, never taking the word of God very seriously, preferred Barabbas over Jesus, preferred this world over Christ, have better things to do and to think about, and then suddenly the Lord comes with his word, whom ye have crucified, you've heard about him, you've rejected him, you've sinned against the triune God, against the law, and against the gospel. Oh, you had dismissed the truth for so long, it never affected you much. And suddenly it becomes real. Overnight sometimes. This one sermon, one text, one word. The sword pierces through you. And then you begin to understand you've done those terrible things of denying, of neglecting, of rejecting the Lord. You know, is there anyone here in church that does not believe in anything? Maybe a young person sitting in church because dad and mom wants me to go to church, but in the heart, I don't believe in anything. The Lord can change that. But let me just talk to you then. So you believe that everything, the universe, life, this earth, you, everything is made by nothing? Everything made by nothing. Is that your theology? Is that your worldview? Everything by nothing? For what reason? For what reason did nothing made everything? For no reason? So atheists believe that nothing made everything for nothing. And maybe that's not your theology, your atheistic view. Maybe that's how you still live. That you ignore the God who made everything for his purpose, for his glory, to save people from their sins. Then the Lord breaks your heart. It is not nothing making everything for nothing anymore. But it's God made everything for his glory, and I have dishonored him, the highest majesty of God, and you feel bad. You feel evil. You feel stung. You feel pricked in your heart, pierced through. You kind of die. You have been blind. You begin to see. There was no hope. You didn't care. And now you feel there is no hope, no future, shocking. You know, I heard a couple times on the way to the airport, I thought, where is my passport? This pocket? That pocket? Where is my passport? Did I pack it? Where did I pack it? Oh, to stop the car. Where is my passport? And your heartbeat goes up. Get warm and you start sweating. Maybe I'll miss my plane and go back. You just feel something, right? Your blood pressure goes up. That's nothing. That's nothing compared to when the Lord pricks your heart. That things change dramatically. You're in shock. And you feel, I've sinned against the holy, righteous God. And is there hope now? But when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. In their heart, in their emotions, in their will, in their very core of life, in their heart, and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren. What a different tone, right? They had looked down on those simple fishermen of Galilee. Who do they think they are? They were weak in their mind. They were just crazy. They were just simple people. They're just idiots. And now they say, men and brethren. respect for God's people and God's servants. It looks different. It feels different. Men and brethren, you have this, you're Jewish as well, right? We have the same blood in our veins, and they don't keep distance anymore. Men and brethren, I tell you, when the Lord comes with His Spirit, you look different at God's people and God's office bearers. You kind of laughed about and ridiculed and said they are full of new wine, they are drunk, they don't know what they are saying, they are so old-fashioned, they are just absolutely out of their mind. It changes dramatically. Shocking. You know a few texts for you to prove this from the Bible? How you feel when the Lord comes so dramatically. Then I kept silence. My bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. You can't shake it. You can't say, well, I would like to think about something else. All the day long. And the next day, and the next day, it is a lasting impression. For mine iniquities are gone over mine head as a heavy burden. They are too heavy for me. You can't bury it anymore. It is too heavy, pricked in the heart. I acknowledge my transgression, Psalm 51, and my sin is ever before me. I just see it happening all the time. It is before me. Or think of John 16, and when He is come, the Holy Spirit will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, as we have not believed in the only begotten Son of God. See, no harsh words anymore. What shall we do? Is there a possibility? Can we yet be saved? Oh, they are interested in what you see later on in the text. For the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So that's what they get. But now they're in need of that. In need of the remission of their sins. That the sins are blotted out. That is their heart's desire. Lord, may my sins be remitted. May the remission of my sins send my sins away. And may I have the gift of the Holy Ghost, not only His gift, but He is the gift. May I have God in my heart. May I have the Spirit in my heart. May I be a temple of the Holy Ghost. Hungry for forgiveness, hungry and thirsty for God, for Christ. Now, does that ring a bell? Do you say, I love to hear this? Because that's me. I feel pricked in my heart, pierced through, not every day the same, but it comes back all the time. It's too heavy for me. I feel so unconverted. I feel that I have sinned against all God's commandments and have not kept any of them. I feel bad. Nothing can make me truly happy anymore. Sin too much. It seems to be too late. So, resisting Christ, slain by Christ, let's go to the third thought. Repenting, commanded by Christ. So what is the answer of Peter? Men, brethren, what shall we do? What does he say? I don't know. I don't know. I think it's over. I think you have sinned too much. There might be a chance. I don't know. You have sinned so much. You have murdered the Lord Jesus Christ. If ever you just pray, you know, maybe pray for forgiveness. Something might happen. I'm not sure. Is that what he said? No, he said something else. And Peter said unto him, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So, right away you feel it, there is a possibility. It is possible. He does not say, forget about it. He doesn't say, the door is closed now. He does not say, you have hardened your heart too much. He says, repent ye. You know, sometimes people wonder if they can be reconciled here on earth with friends, and someone says, would say, that they'll apologize. Well, this is so much deeper. Repent ye. What does it mean, repent ye? Had they not repented yet? They stand there, men, brethren, what shall we do? They pricked their hearts. Could the apostle not say, well, the Lord is working in your hearts already? You have repented already? No. They were convicted, but not converted. They were devastated and slain and hurting and wandering, but not converted yet. Repent ye therefore. So what is repentance? Is repentance feeling the pain of what you have done? Much more. Okay? So is repentance then also feeling sorry and having regrets? Or many have regrets. I should not have done that. I should never have gone through that route. I should never have said that. It's much more than hurting. It's much more than regrets and be feeling sorry. I'm sorry. It's more. It is to change direction. It is to turn to the Lord. Repentance in the original means this. It's a change of mind involves a turning with contrition from sin to God. That's a quote from Bruce. Repentance, change of mind, involves a turning with contrition from sin to God. And he adds, the repentant sinner is in the proper condition to accept the divine forgiveness. So change. See those people listening? They heard him. Repent ye. Oh, repent ye. That means turn yourself in, change. There is a way back. There's a way back. For all of you. There's a way back. You have turned away from God. And there is a way back to God. Turn ye. attorney. Confessing your sins, tell the Lord how foolish you are, what you all have done all those years. Tell the Lord, confess it before Him. And save yourselves from that untoward generation, from those friends and those habits and those sins and those things and those places and those complacencies. Turn ye, turn ye. Why would you die? So the apostle did not say, well, pay the price, work hard, swim to the other side of the ocean, climb to heaven. No, he said very simply, turn yourself in with contrition. Repent ye, repent ye. Minister, that's a work of God. The Lord gives repentance. Right. Didn't I say that? The Lord is doing it? Absolutely. So why does it say then, repent as a command, as a prescriptive, as something they had to do? Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. Why does it say repent? Why does he not say ask for repentance? Why does he not say, maybe there is repentance? Why does he say, repent ye? Now let me first say this. Repentance is a gift of God. Grace comes before faith. It's not so that faith is exercised and then the Lord gives His grace and His Spirit. No. First He gives His Spirit and works repentance and He gives faith and then the sinner believes. That's the Bible. So why did He say, repent ye? And why do I say that this morning to you? Repent ye. And a couple of things. Let me try to unpack this. You need it, right? You need repentance. You need to repent. That's the first thing. It is necessary that you repent. Agree with me? You have to repent. It's necessary. That's the first thing. You must repent. It is absolutely necessary. Repent. It is not only necessary as a gift. It's necessary as an activity of the soul. You need to truly repent yourself with your heart, genuinely. Nobody else can do it for you. You need it. You need to repent yourself. That's a gift of the Spirit, that's right. But through the Spirit, sinners need to repent themselves. And next, do you know how the Holy Spirit works that repentance? By His word. By saying, whom ye have crucified. By saying, repent ye. So the Lord, the Holy Spirit, uses the prescriptive, uses the command, uses the repent ye to bring sinners unto Him. There is a way back, sinner. is way back. You may come back. I want you to come back. I invite you back. You must come back. Right? And the Holy Spirit applies that so that people begin to take that seriously. I must come back. And through the Holy Spirit, that command gives them feet to come and the freedom to take refuge. So it's not enough to be awakened, to feel contrition, to be devastated and pierced through. Repent ye. So that was the third thought. Now the fourth, believing in Christ. It's a little puzzling what the Apostle Peter meant by, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. What did he mean? Is baptism indispensable for remission of sins? He said, repent ye, and then you must be baptized. Baptism? Well, it can be. You have to compare Scripture with Scripture. What he means is this. Let me first say what he means and then explain that. He means, repent ye and take refuge unto Christ and have that forgiveness confirmed by baptism. Because baptism was only possible for adults when there was faith first. So he must have meant, he means, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, consequently being baptized. How do you know, minister? There are 9 conversions described, reported, recorded in the Acts of the Apostles, and they all explain that faith, believing, is necessary. Think of the eunuch. He traveled back to Ethiopia, was reading the scroll of Isaiah. Philip came to him and explained to him who that lamb was. He was reading about in Isaiah. And then he wanted to be baptized. And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. See? If thou believest, that is so crucial. Not only repenting, but also believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. That is at least included in be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Well, think of the Apostle Paul in Antioch, Acts 13. And by him, all that believe are justified from all things from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses. So the law of Moses could not justify you, but by believing. Or think of what happened at the synod at Jerusalem, the first synod in Acts 15. And when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, men and brethren, ye know that a good while ago God made choice among us, that the Gentiles, by my mouth, should hear the word of the gospel and believe. The Gentiles should hear the word of the gospel and believe. Or think of the jailer devastated, terrified, afraid. And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved and thy house. See? They're believing in the Lord Jesus. So I see on the day of Pentecost, the crowd of people, I look at those faces and they're so worried. Is there a way back? Can we be saved yet? What shall we do? We are so unworthy of this. And the apostle says, there's a way back. There is a way back by just repenting, not paying, but coming back and confessing your sins, turning away from sin towards God with contrition, and to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, to hide under his wings. Anyone interested this morning? Anyone in great need? Anyone wondering? I murdered. I killed the Son of God. I crucified him myself. I am a sinner. I've sinned against the Holy God. There is a way back. Turn ye, repent ye, and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. You may touch the hem of the garment. You may do that. You have full permission to do that. I said wrong. You don't have permission. You must. The Lord commands you. Seek life in him. You know, on Hawaii, the volcano is active and people are devastated. And lava, hot lava pieces are just blown into the air and fall randomly in the backyards and on the houses. And people are hiding and fleeing and have to leave the area. They have to take refuge into shelters away from the volcano. Are you looking for refuge? Are you fleeing? In that shelter, that safe place, the Lord Jesus Christ, the door is open. And you have heard it so many times and over so many years. And we refuse to enter. And we are rather exposed to the wrath of God than to seek salvation in that hiding place. I look at verse 41. Then they that gladly receive the word, they're baptized. Oh, gladly receive the word. Welcomed it, loved it, loved to hear the gospel. They had a delight, a true happiness in hearing the words of God. Repent ye therefore and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. They loved it. They received it, not reluctantly, not in an indifferent way, but with their hearts, they receive with gladness in their hearts. 3,000 of them received it. They did not look the other way. They did not say, needs to be given to you. And say that. They gladly received it. And that's the work of the Spirit, right? But that's what they said. For the remission of sins. I looked up that remission. And those are beautiful words. Forgiveness or pardon of sins, letting them go as if they had never been committed. So the Lord lets them go, those sins. as if they never have been committed. Do you want that? Those dark pages and dark pieces in your heart, those things you can't forget and are haunting you, and all your sins of unbelief, it is possible to have those sins remitted. And then it feels like, no, then it is so, as if you had never been committing those sins. It is the remission of the penalty of sin. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Not the Holy Ghost with the gifts of all types of gifts of the Spirit. No, the gift of the Holy Ghost can also mean the Holy Ghost himself. That's God. So to have God back in their hearts, as you have left God in paradise. So then they gladly received his word, were baptized, and the same day they were added unto them. About 3,000 souls, last thought, added to Christ. Read it again. And the same day there added unto them about 3,000 souls. And look at 47. Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. So the Lord did. So who is adding what to what? The Lord is adding people to his church, to himself. He's the head of the church. That's himself. The fifth thought was adding to Christ. Not only adding to the church is Christ. They will prove that. It's the Lord's work to save the people from their sins, those that should be saved. Who should be saved? We all must be saved, right? We all need salvation. But there are people, and they will be saved. And they all will be saved. God's elect, chosen from eternity. In God's heart, in God's mind, he loves them with an eternal love. And there is a time, and then it is going to happen. Later, earlier, this way, that way, but it is going to happen. And the Lord won't miss any of them. That's his work is effectual. It does not begin with faith and repentance. It begins with the Spirit before that. It begins with election before that. So we believe that the Lord is adding people, not people adding themselves to the Lord. Is the Lord doing it? At the same token, I also respect the word, repent ye. So I preach the full responsibility. Repent ye therefore. And I say, the Lord adds his elect to the church. He makes them alive. Acts 5, verse 14. And believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes both of men and women. So the Lord added to the Lord, to himself, as his bride. That is, as his people. The Lord adding to the church. Acts 11. For he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith. And much people was added unto the Lord. That's our prayer. That the Lord is adding not only members outwardly to the church, that he adds people to the Lord, to his crown, to his jewels, adding people to the Lord. Would you like to be added to the Lord? Would you like to belong to the Lord? He being the head and you being part of the body, he adds to the Lord. And when the Gentiles, Acts 13, heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as were ordained, to eternal life believed. Not more, not less. All of them. All of them that were ordained to eternal life believed. It's our hope. Suppose salvation would depend upon me, upon my sermons, I will be depressed. Suppose salvation depend upon you, I will be depressed as well, because I don't have hope, much hope for you then. But the Lord adds people to his church. It is his work. So anything can happen. Anything is possible. The Apostle Paul was converted. Manasseh converted. You name it. Romans 8, verse 30. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified. And to be justified, then he also glorified. That's his work. Conversion to Christ. Resisting Christ. Are you still resisting him? Slain by Christ to wake you up. Repenting, commanding by Christ. Commanded by Christ. Repent ye therefore, believing in Christ, being baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost, added to Christ. That's enough. That's everything. Seek it. Don't die. Don't die. No, some in our area have died this week. Also yesterday, on the highway, on the railroad tracks here close by. So suddenly can come. Be prepared. Eternity is very long. And being without God is the worst thing you can think about. But there is a way back. There is a way back. Turn ye, why would ye die? Amen. O Almighty God, what a wonder, what a gospel, anything possible with God. O encourage them for whom there seems to be no hope, for we for whom there seems the only darkness and devastation. Show them thy kindness, thy arms stretched out, unto a gainsaying people. Bless the word. Be with us the rest of this day. Bring us safe back home and back to thy house. Give thy blessing, give a longing to sit in church, to long for the gospel. In Jesus' name alone, amen.